Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to come among us as we celebrate this feast day of St. Matthew, that we would hear your call upon our lives to come and follow you. Give us the strength and the ability to give up the things that we love so dear in order that we might grasp hold of you. You who love us and have given yourself for us, that we might know true love. Please be with us this day as we study your word, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. See you. Well, the Feast of St. Matthew is really September the 21st, and today is September the 23rd, and so we celebrate as close as we can to our patron saint, St. Matthew, who is loved in his time about as much as any other tax collector is loved in our time. If you can think about how much you love your IRS man, that is how much people loved our dear patron St. Matthew. I know. I think I told y'all last St. Matthew Sunday that what symbolizes him is an open book and three money bags. Like, well, there you go. Good old St. Matthew. Writer of the gospel and tax collector. He begins his life as this tax collector, and the way tax collectors made their money was skimming off the top. Therefore, he would go to those who had to pay their taxes, and he would know how much more he could get out of them, and he would squeeze them to get those last pennies out. It's like if you've ever seen Robin Hood, you know, the cartoon version. They pick up the little rabbit boy, and they shake him by his feet, and the coins all drop out of his pockets. This is what the tax collectors would do. They would try to get as many coins out of the pockets of those and stuff them into their own pockets, depending upon which one needed the coins. Tax collectors were not looked highly upon. Still aren't, as far as I know. But this is St. Matthew, a man who looked to gain wealth from others, a man who was one doing the work of the government in his time. This is not one that the other rabbis in the local town and village had called upon and said, this man is the one that we're going to go and grab him to be one of my disciples. No, all the other rabbis had passed him by. So he was left in his booth collecting taxes and stuffing his pockets. And Christ comes along. Our Savior Christ comes along and he calls out to Matthew to come and to follow him. And Matthew leaves everything and goes and follows Christ. His example of being willing to give up everything to follow Jesus is the example that we seek to follow. Our psalmist today helps us in this. In Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40, we begin by hearing these words. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. I shall keep it with all of my heart. Make me go in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire. Incline my heart to your decrees and not to unjust gain. Our heart's desires are for unjust gain. We want what we deserve, or at least what we think we deserve. We want to stuff our own pockets. We want to do so oftentimes at the expense of others. Whether that's stuffing our pockets with cash, whether it's stuffing our pockets with material wealth, whether that is just holding back our time from other people, not wanting to serve or to give to others. Instead, we need to keep some in reserve in case we need it later on. The reality is that we have desires for ourselves and our own personal gains. And the psalmist says, incline my heart to your decrees. Our desires are for him, his law and his commandments. Yet, too often, do we choose the things of this world rather than choosing to follow him. I use this example when we were in the Sunday school classroom. It's like you come to a table and you have to choose between a piece of chicken pie and a piece of chocolate cake. The decision is not hard. You eat the chocolate cake every time, not the chicken pie. The reality is that our desires are often for ourselves and for things of this world. Yet we also desire God and his things, but when we put them on a scale, our desires often win. Our personal desires for ourselves win. And that is why the psalmist goes to his knees in prayer and asks that the Lord would incline his heart to the decrees, that the Lord would know that he desires to follow the commandments and to help him. The psalmist knows he can't do it on his own. He's not able to keep all of God's commandments and statutes, even though he knows that those things are best for him. So he cries out to the Lord. He cries out to the Lord to begin with to teach him the statutes. And then second, to give him understanding. We've heard often the statutes of the Lord or his commandments, and we just don't understand what they mean or what are they about. And so because of that, we choose not to keep them. But when we hear his statutes, and then when we connect that to our understanding, we know why he's calling us to do certain things, we are more willing and desirous to do them. And so it is through a teaching of the commandments and an understanding of the law that we began to keep them to the end. That with all of our hearts, we follow his commandments. We do all this because we've gone to our knees in prayer, asking him to incline our hearts to him, to teach us, to give us understanding. The psalmist then continues, turn my eyes from watching what is worthless and give me life in your ways. Fulfill your promise to your servant, which you make for those who fear you. Turn away the reproach which I dread, because your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your commandments, and your righteousness preserve my life. This is Matthew. Matthew has an experience that his eyes are turned from worthless things. From verse 37, turn your eyes from watching what is worthless and give me life in your ways. Matthew begins to see that God's ways are worth following after. So he gives up those things that are worthless and he follows after him. Matthew hears the promise. Promise of life eternal. And he holds on to it. He holds on to it and follows after him because he finds out, Matthew does later on in the gospel, that Christ has come to die, to preserve our lives, to give us a new life in him. And that's why we look at verse 40, behold, I long for your commandments in which and in your righteousness, preserve my life. It is in his righteousness that we have a new life. And therefore, we long to follow his commandments. So I don't know what your struggle is this day. What it is that you're holding on to. That desire that you have that you're unwilling to let go of. But I encourage you today to fall to your knees. Cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, incline my heart to your laws. Teach me your statutes. Give me understanding. In order that, like our patron saint Matthew. We might give those things up. Those fleshly desires may be given up, and we hold fast to our Savior Christ and his commandments. For in them is life everlasting. So as the Lord calls you, may you drop everything and follow your Savior Christ. Amen.